Thank you, Ms. Sherry and Brother Chris, Ms. Lisa, choir, congregation. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20 today, as we look at a parable, the laborers in the vineyard. Matthew chapter 20, we think about a question as we read that in just a moment. What is the kingdom of heaven? What is it? There's many other places, obviously, that tells us what the kingdom of heaven is like. God's kingdom. But also, this is a kind of interesting text, I believe, as well. So if you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. We'll read a few verses today. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarii, a day's wage, what it is, a day, he sent them out into the vineyard, his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the same standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went, going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarii. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first and the first last." Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. The kingdom of heaven is mentioned here at the beginning of this text in this parable of the Lord Jesus. So Jesus is talking about his kingdom. We know that he was 30 years old when he came to the Jordan River to be baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. And the exact words when he came were, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And I would submit to you, it's still here, obviously, until he comes back for us. It's here. And so if you were to back up the previous chapter, it's a story of the rich young ruler. And you remember that story in Matthew 19, verse 16. Jesus was approached by this young rich man who said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus challenged the young man to just give up everything he had, because Jesus knew his heart. He knew that the man worshipped what he had. He worshipped his money and all of that. And so the man said, "I can't do that." He didn't really want to be saved, obviously, because he didn't want to give up everything and follow the Lord Jesus. And so the Bible says he went away sorrowful. And he did not accept the challenge of the Lord Jesus. And a few verses later, Jesus taught us that it's very difficult for rich people to make it to heaven, because because they feel like they have what they need and they can purchase what they need. And so the disciples begin to wonder because they believed anybody that was wealthy had God's favor in their life. And so if anybody's saved, the disciples believed the rich people were saved. And so they asked Jesus, can anybody be saved? They begin to wonder that in Matthew chapter 19. And Peter chimes in, Lord, for following you, what will we get out of it? And Jesus says, and I'm paraphrasing, you get much more. You get much more than you deserve. And so in Matthew chapter 19, the very last verse in verse 9, chapter 19, Jesus gives a beautiful statement. He says, but many who are first will be last. And the last first is what he says. And so this morning, we're embarking on the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. And it's early morning, 6 a.m., and the foreman calls some laborers, the men that work for a particular wage, one day's labor, one day's wage, calls them early in the morning. A few hours later, 9 a.m., he calls some more. I guess he needed more help. Or either they weren't there at all at one time, and so when they came, he called more. Up until noon and 3 p.m. and 5 p.m., he kept calling, kept bringing people in. Some started again at 6, and some started all the way up to 5 p.m., you could say. All were paid a one day's wage. All were paid equally, even though that irritated the ones who started early. The landowner responded by saying, we just read that in a minute, I treated you fairly. You agreed to what I paid you. What's the problem? The landowner says, I wanted to pay everybody the same. And you don't respect my generosity? The landowner says, as the boss, I have the right to make the call. Are you jealous, he says? Are you resentful? Because I'm gracious to everybody? And Jesus concludes the parable. Look at that. Look at verse 16. What he says in chapter 20. So the last will be first, and the first last. Many are called, few are chosen. So what is the parable saying? How can it impact our lives for the glory of God? What one word can we use to express this parable? I believe that word, and there's the verse. I believe that's the word there that we can use to express it, grace. And I thought about it as I prepared this message, I thought about those of you that are grandparents. You're more gracious than the parents are, aren't you? You put up with more. You deal with more. You accept more. And your children probably say, you're being a doormat. They're taking advantage of you. They're whatever. They have reason. They have their excuses. But I would say, you're more gracious. Like this landowner. It may not seem fair. To the world it doesn't, and to other people looking. But because God has been gracious to you, you're gracious to others. It may not, again, people say you're being taken advantage of. But you know what God has instilled in you. You know what God's given you. You know how God has wired you and fashioned you and saved you. And so if you feel like God's leading you to give them grace, even sometimes when you need to tear their rear end up or whatever, and you feel like God wants you to give them grace, you give them grace. Let me give you a few little truths from the text today. First of all, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, grace is a reminder that God's favor, when God blesses us, when God gives us stuff, He allows us to live, It's a gift from God. It isn't anything that we obviously earned or deserve in any way. Nobody. The person who started at 6 a.m. or the person who started at 5 p.m., it was a gift. God, they were hired. They were allowed to work. And so they had God's favor whether they started early or started late. And so God's the one who decides who gets paid what and whether we get paid equal or not in this life. And so it's a reminder that His favor is a gift. The problem in this text is not a mean and a cruel landowner. The problem is complaining hired hands. The landowner was unusually generous. He wanted to pay them all the same. He was gracious. The workers didn't care about generosity. They were selfish. Notice one of the landowner's questions in verse 15 says, "Are you envious?" Your text may say, "Are you evil?" Because I am generous, because I'm good. We see that in this world. I know I see it now more than ever as a manager at FedEx. A lot of my guys there, they don't reward generosity. But I try to be fair and I try to be generous. They take advantage of it. I almost feel like this is their text. They're envious, they're evil, because I'm generous at times. Am I going to change? Maybe in some ways, in some scenarios, but I can't change who God has made me. Are you going to change as a grandparent when others say you're being stepped on, you're being a doormat? No. You may adjust some things, but that's who you are. You're gracious. That's how God's made you. That's the person you are. That's what this landowner, that's what he's talking about. Our God is generous to us, and it may not seem fair that others have it better, or others are not suffering like you and I, or that others are not struggling. But to think of it that way is not to see the picture, the big picture. The big picture is God is extremely gracious. The complaining workers here, they were given grace, but they wanted special treatment. And when we take grace for granted, we want special treatment too. In the kingdom of God, God's grace is granted completely according, not to who we are or how special we are or what we've done, but it's granted according, completely according to His good pleasure. Remember, God's favor is not earned. It's totally a gift according to His good pleasure. Excuse me, let me give you a second truth that I see from the text and through grace. Grace is a reminder not to look down on yourself, on ourselves. It's easy, especially if you're gracious. It's easy for those people to browbeat you and say you're being taken advantage of, you're too kind, you're too generous. Don't get down on yourself. Don't look down. They did it to the Lord Jesus too, didn't they? They said how awful He is. Just think about the people cursing the Lord Jesus. Even in our day, and they've done it ever since He existed. So if He is brutalized, if He is ostracized, then we're going to be if He's our Lord. That's what He tells us. We don't pray enough. I know that. We don't witness enough. We don't love enough. So we struggle with our feelings of discontentment and disappointment. We're disappointed in ourselves because we don't do what all we know we should be doing. We know we can do more. The workers who were hired at 5 p.m., they watched, perhaps if they were standing there or they just pulled up, walked up, they watched and waited. Maybe some other workers went and worked. But if they didn't work, they wouldn't be able to feed their family. They wanted to get picked early. Maybe they were there and they were in the back and they wanted to get picked early too. I don't know. Like a little child at the in recess or in a little ball game at school who doesn't get picked, but they seem to be the last one that always gets picked whenever a game starts. Perhaps these people were the same way, the ones that were picked late. But I want you to know, brothers and sisters, this parable shows that the Lord is passionate about everybody, about all people. He's passionate for all. So do not get down on yourself if you have Jesus. I know we want to do more. Paul said that himself. He wanted to do more, the Apostle Paul. And so don't let yourself get too down. Even though you know you don't pray and witness and read your Bible and all that stuff, none of us do as much as we should. Don't get down on yourself. Grace is a reminder you don't have to get there. You don't have to stay there. We're all going to get down some, but don't stay there. Grace, third truth I want you to know. Grace is a reminder that we're equal. In God's eyes, because of the blood of Jesus, as we sang about a moment ago, we're equal. The worker's complaint in verse 12, notice what it says. It was a very stupid, a dumb complaint. Look what they said in verse 12. They said, "You have made them equal to us. You made the 5 p.m. people equal to us 6 a.m. people." Which means they complained, they were grumbling. It says it in the text. Over and over, they were complaining more than just one time. They were murmuring and grumbling is what it means in the Greek. Because you made them equal to us. But we know, you and I know, that God is the one who makes us equal. We don't make ourselves equal. We don't prop ourselves up and say we came in at 5 a.m. and you came 6 a.m. and you came in at 5 p.m., we're better than you? That's what they're saying. Romans chapter 12 challenges you and I. Here's what it says. For I say, Paul says, through the grace, there it is again, the grace given to me, Paul said, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So we're not to elevate ourselves. We're not to be the 5 a.m. people, the 6 a.m. We're to be the 5 p.m. and all of them. We're to say, God, you made us all equal. One may be better in this or better at that, but God, in God's eyes, under the blood of Jesus, we're all equal. Excuse me. God challenges us to believe that through this verse. God's given as He pleases. His grace is imputed or given to you and I as He pleases. Nobody is better than you, and you are no better than nobody else. We're not even better than a woman holding a sign on the side of the road, or we're not better than a man living under a bridge. That's what grace teaches you and I. It teaches us that we're all equal because God's grace, that umbrella that He's given us through the power of Jesus, gives us that truth. Let me give you the last one. Grace is a reminder that you and I have a fresh start. Each morning is a new day. The Christian life is a series of new beginnings. That's what grace is all about. No one is first and no one is last. That's what Jesus is trying to say. That's what He's trying to teach you and I. I'm not better than you and you're not better than me. You're no worse than I am and I'm no worse than you are. Because we're all covered by the grace and the blood of Jesus. That's why I think Jesus used such radical language in verse 16. about the first and the last. We read just a moment ago, we read where at the end of chapter 29, he says, the first shall be last, and last first. But if you notice at the end of this parable, he reverses that. He says, the last shall be first. He changes the order. The first and the last, why did he do that? Because the last and the first seem to be blurred together. It's as if Jesus is trying to make the point to you and I that last and first don't really matter in the kingdom of God. Grace is not about finishing first, or grace is not about finishing last. It's not about keeping score. Some people do a better job of praying. Some people do a better job of witnessing. Some people do a better job of reading their Bibles. But God understands that. And that's why we're given grace. You know what it's all about? It's really all about this. It's all about letting Him be your landowner. That's what it's all about. Letting Him be our landowner. Whatever, God. I know it doesn't seem fair. I know why these people seem to have it better than me, or why these church folks, or why things are going better here and there, Lord. But help me to let You be the landowner in my life. Let You be Lord and Master as You are. That's the simple kingdom of God is so much bigger than us. And God's grace is available for every situation in our life. Let's pray. Father, may You be landowner today. Thank You for reminding us that through this parable, that doesn't matter if we're first, doesn't matter if we're last. As You reverse the order, You just want us to be faithful, obedient, moldable. You want us to be gracious. Lord, I thank You for the people in this room that's gracious to their co-workers, that are gracious to their children, that are gracious to their grandchildren, that are gracious to their neighbors, Lord, and whomever, that are gracious to people here in this church, that are gracious to people that other people are not gracious to, Lord. Thank You for giving them generosity. Because it is a gift from You. In Christ's holy name, amen.